I'm going to say right now, I think I'm going to cut this and put it at the beginning that we just chatted a lot. So I'll put timestamps in the description if you guys want to just go ahead to the Vanderpump Rules part.
Yeah, if you want to skip to the episode.
But I just don't think that we can cut a lot of that out. I was having a great time.
Me too. I don't know personally why you would want to skip just to the episode, but...
I guess if that's your style, I want you to feel emboldened to do so.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to I'm the Devil Pod.
Welcome back to I'm the Devil Pod, a Vanderpump Rules recap podcast.
Woohoo!
I'm Sophia Wilson-Pelton.
I'm Hannah Wakefield. Sophia,
what? I have to get my notes out.
What sexy, unique thing happened to you this week?
Okay. I had a week of literally highs and lows.
Okay.
A huge week of highs and lows. The sexy, unique thing that happened to me this week is that I am getting super transgender.
Woohoo!
I got a prescription for tea, which I'm excited about. And yay. I'm like officially getting my top surgery.
That is the most sexy and unique thing that's ever happened on this podcast.
I know, it is. And it is literally unique because only like 0.001% of people are trans.
Exactly. In my world, it's like closer to 75%.
Yeah, I would say in mine, it's almost
100%. But to the general public, I guess it's much less.
It is incredible when you think about how many people are actually trans in the entire world compared to the way that truly like 70% of the people that we hang out with are trans.
No, I know. It's like... my New York bubble is such a New York bubble.
I know. I love my bubble.
I forget that it's different anywhere else.
I know. It's crazy when you go like somewhere else and you're like, so none of you guys are trans?
I know. Not even gay.
Not even gay sometimes.
Yeah.
Shock.
It's crazy.
Okay. So that's my amazing thing.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited.
Thank you. I got my blood work taken.
Scaly.
It was scary, but luckily I used to be really afraid of needles. Now I'm less afraid because I've done exposure therapy via ketamine injections. Right. So I'm actually pretty brave about it now. I used to be a real big wimp about it.
Congrats.
Thank you. Got my blood work done. The guy, I told you this, he said, wow, you have really nice arms. Do you work out? I said, yeah. He said, are you a rock climber? I said, no.
No.
But I love that that's what you thought.
You said, just because I'm trans does not mean I climb rocks.
Just because I'm trans does not mean I climb rocks on all fours like an animal.
But many do.
Many such cases. I did that. Then I'm going to tell you the horrors that happened to me this week.
Okay, because that's a real peak.
It is a peak. It's highs and lows. And, okay, anyway, here are the horrors. I spent $200 on a vape.
Yes.
I literally need to put in like a gunshot sound for the list I'm about to tell you. I went to my local corner store where I love them so much. Shout out Mo, you're my family.
I love them too.
They're so sweet.
I'm just going to say quick that when I first moved here, I went in there. I had gone in with Sophia before and then I went back in and they were like, oh, you're Sophia's best friend.
Yeah, they said special friend or something.
Oh yeah, and I was like, yeah, how do you know that?
They love me and I love them. They're so nice. But I went there. A vape normally costs $20.
Mm-hmm.
They just like do the thing where they punch in manually and then like have you pay on the little like card swipe thing.
Because they're not supposed to be selling them.
Yeah. I've had them do it before where they accidentally kept a zero off and charged me like $3 for weed. And I was like,
did you tell them?
No, but I don't think they realized until after the fact. But also I'm like, I'm not going to tell you that. Sorry. As much as I love you guys.
Yeah.
This time, quite literally the opposite happened to me where I bought a vape. I went home. I actually didn't notice until the next day because I'm flush with cash.
Right.
And I was going through my bank statement and I was like, oh, I didn't spend $208 yesterday.
No, and certainly not at the corner store.
Not at Inner Market Brooklyn. I didn't. Sorry, doxing myself. And so I was like, at first I literally couldn't figure out what it was for. I was like, what the fuck? And I got really scared that someone had like stole it, was using my card, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, hacking is really easy these days. It happens a lot.
It is. And then I realized that they had just put on an extra zero and that I had spent $208 on a vape.
Oh, God.
It's okay. It's okay. It sucked, obviously, but it is okay. I went back. They were super nice. Like, I know them, so they're obviously not like you're trying to pull one over on us and they just felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me cash.
They gave you $200 cash or like $180 cash?
Yeah, because I think like, I don't think that it was even possible for them to go back in the system and refund me. Cause like, I didn't know the exact time that the charge went through. It wouldn't show me on my statement and like, whatever. So I was just like, thank you so much.
Wow. You are flush with cash.
So now
right
I'm
now.
Legit flush with cash. I keep trying to remind myself to spend it. So that is the first L I took.
Yeah. But with a little bit of a win right at the end.
Yeah, not that. Like, it all came full circle, but I was like, damn.
Yeah. I mean, when I heard about it, my jaw dropped open.
Of course. The next day, I went to a show. I did a stand-up comedy show where I did have to sing a karaoke song afterwards.
Yeah.
No problem. Yep. I'm not commenting on that.
Didn't get to choose your song.
Didn't get to choose my song.
Right.
And I was at that point, I was feeling the effects of the vape because I was like, God damn, I'm fucking out of breath.
Dude, that happens to me every time I sing karaoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am so humiliated by it because I'm like gasping into the mic.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Trying to keep up with.
It was crazy.
I usually do Part of Your World. So yes. I'm like trying to hit notes and not being able to breathe.
Okay. Then after the show, I'm walking on the street. I step on something. I think that, what was that? I literally think that was, there's so much of something on my shoe that stuck to my shoe that it can't possibly be dog shit. There's too much of it.
Ew.
I reach down to kind of like check. I get a bunch of dog shit on my hand.
It's, to me, it's a little crazy that you touched the bottom of your shoe with your hand.
I didn't really mean to. I was just not thinking. But it was, I can't explain to you that the reason that I felt fine touching it is because, well, it was completely dark out. And I was like, there's no way that's dog shit. There is something like stuck. I thought it was like a huge brand. I don't know. It was so big. That was my mistake. Okay. So double homicide.
That is so bad. And you're not even close to home.
I wasn't close to home. I had to get on the train. And then at that point, I smell of dog shit. My hands reek of dog shit. Right. No one around. Everyone's like, I have a piece of paper. I'm like, no one has hand sanitizer.
And like, what do you think a piece of paper is going to do? It's just going to smear it around more.
Like,
I have an old receipt.
I know, literally. Okay, so then that is my double homicide. I've spent $200 on a vape and I've stepped in the truly biggest amount of dog shit that I have ever stepped into in my entire life.
Wow.
Yep. And then yesterday, I threw out my back at the gym.
Oh, dude. You have been really unlucky this week.
But here's the thing. I texted you that I was having an unlucky week. And then I got so scared because I don't even want to use the word luck. I'm trying to be like, I'm literally trying to be in a space of such toxic positivity that I'm like, it's not bad luck. Things happen,
right?
Good and bad, and we take them as they come,
right? Well, you shouldn't speak things such as
I got really afraid
or things like that. You can't kind of talk that into existence, or it will come true.
I know. And so I got really scared after I texted you that I was having bad luck, and I was like, No, I'm not. It's just that things happen.
Yeah.
And then I have one more thing to tell you and show you. Last night, I was laying in bed. And I went on TikTok and I got this TikTok that I actually just want to play for you on the mic. Maybe I'll cut it in like from above or whatever.
From God.
This is the kind of content that I'm getting. I think because my phone, I keep saying to everyone, 2025 is going to be the best year of my life. I literally keep saying amazing things are going to happen to me. My life is going to change. I'm going to make $1 million in the next year.
I need to start doing that.
I keep saying that. And I think my phone is listening to me because it showed me this TikTok.
Okay.
You're going to see this video right before you enter a winning stage in your life.
Oh.
I don't know why, but I just have a feeling that you've been in a rut. You've been off. Things have been feeling maybe out of alignment for you for some time.
Wait.
But that's going to change.
Mind you, I'm going to keep playing it. This guy is like fully in the dark.
This is like a 21-year-old kind of like
rise and grind content
creator. Rise and grind kind of buff guy.
Who also kind of looks like a shooter. Sorry. He looks like violent.
Yeah, he does. Sitting in the dark with just his face illuminated.
Change very, very soon. You know, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And I believe that you have a purpose that you are destined to fulfill in this world. But in order to get there, in order to fulfill that purpose, you must go through a process. You must travel along this long and beautifully treacherous journey.
Beautifully treacherous.
There comes a lot of hardship, a lot of adversity, a lot of discomfort, whether we like it or not. It's just part of the process. But I want you to know that although things may not have been going your way recently, you've been in this rut, you've been hitting dead end after dead end.
Oh, God.
Repeat failure after repeat failure. the reason that you are going through this is because you are destined for something great.
Wait, thank you, okay. Tyson.
So I saw that alone in my bed last night, and I was like, damn, my phone knows that I'm going through something, something.
Something.
First of all, it's like, that's why men need astrology.
Yeah.
Because that's just astrology.
That's just astrology.
They're not talking about astrology, and it's a man saying the craziest shit you could possibly
imagine.
Well,
and he is thinking he came up with that.
Uh-huh.
I'm also just like wondering about that guy, like, who is he making that video for? Because to honest, I don't know if it's you.
No, it's not for me. It's for men.
It's for other guys.
It's for other guys
like that.
The comments are all like, the comments are literally like, I am going to make it, all caps.
Lion emoji.
The timing is crazy. Amen, period. I will make it, period. The timing is crazy, period. December about to be peak, crying face emoji, prayer emoji. All I did this year, .. was survive. Everything is about to change. It's like the scariest.
But that's so you.
It is me. It's like I am genuinely adopting a toxic mindset.
Yeah.
But it's going to get me through.
Yeah. All you did this year was survive, and now you're about to flip the switch and thrive.
I don't even feel like last year was that bad. Like, it wasn't really that bad.
I know.
But I am just like, I don't know what. I think it's just like I went through a breakup and I'm like, I need my entire life to change. Like,
right. Like, well, for me, like this year wasn't that awful, but I did feel like I kind of plateaued and I'm going to need an uptick soon. I need to start making upward progress.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah.
And I did, like, last year was amazing. I had an amazing job and stuff, but I am like, I really want to be like having some forward momentum.
Right. I personally would like to make a bunch of money.
I would. Literally, I keep saying I'm going to make $1 million.
I hope I make $1 million.
I said that and my brother was like, you got to hope for more than that. I was like, I mean in the next year.
Not over the course of the lifetime. Lifetime. In the next 2 months.
No, girl. Sudden windfall of cash, honey.
By January 1st, 2025, I better have $1 million.
$1 million. Okay, so that's like, I felt like I had so much in my heart to share with you about that.
I mean, you had some peaks and valleys this week.
I had some peaks and valleys, and they're all valid, and mm-hmm. It's not bad luck, and I have amazing luck, and my life is gonna be incredible. It's so funny to say, because it's like so embarrassing, but I'm like, I gotta keep saying it.
I mean, that kind of stuff comes true.
I do think it does, and the thing is, it can't hurt. No, it cannot hurt to say positive
things. It
doesn't. Things.
It doesn't hurt. That's like.
I'm trying. What?
It's just like people being like, you guys are so mean. You are accruing bad karmic debt. And meanwhile, I'm like, everything is going to work out for me. Amazing. I am the kindest, sweetest, most beautiful, happiest girl in the whole world. And people online are like, die, bitch.
People are so mad at us because, sorry, we made fun of the Tom Schwartz triplets. We can't even get into it. But no. It is so funny that people are like literally cursing us, like doing like dark magic towards us. And I'm like, everything is coming true. I'm on the right path. The prophecy is being fulfilled and I am going to make $1 million.
I'm about to be so successful. You guys aren't even going to recognize me next year.
There will be signs. Once I get my ethnic rhinoplasty, it's going to be fucking over for you hoes.
And I'll get my brow lift.
Yeah. No. And then, of course, we'll both get the ponytail facelift. Naturally.
We'll get the ponytail facelift. You don't have any hair to hide the scars behind.
I'm crying. We get like 300 subscribers on the podcast and we're like, it's time for our ponytail face.
Our new faces.
Wow. Okay. Amazing.
I will get lip filler for real though.
No, please don't. Are you serious? Please
natural
don't.
Style.
Please don't. I heard it's like hard to the touch.
Ew.
Don't. You have beautiful lips. They're not even thin.
Thank you.
Don't do it.
They're regular, so it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I just am so... Filler, I'm so scared of.
Well, because it just, like, disappears into your body and they don't know where.
Yeah, and well, they know where. It's going to your lymphatic system to clog it all up.
Yeah, and, like, into your blood and whatever.
And it's, like, expanding.
Yes.
I'm not even anti-plastic surgery, but I am, like, don't get filler.
Right.
I'm, like, do whatever, but don't get filler. I'm, like, get a lip implant.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually going to get my lips cut off and a new pair sewed on. No, don't worry. I would never do filler.
I would never do filler.
Just getting my lips replaced.
I'm going to do a third worst thing.
Something science has never seen before.
Okay, Anna, what's your sexy, unique thing?
Okay, my thing is that this week I went to a woke only singles mixer.
Oh yeah, woke yeah. only.
Yeah, woke only. I had to fill out.
Sick as fuck with the woke mind virus.
No, they were. No, I'm not kidding. They were. I'll get into it. First, I had to fill out a 70 question questionnaire beforehand.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So that they could.
70 is so many questions.
70 is so many questions. And the questions were like, what is your stance on Marxism?
Sorry, and I was my jaw just dropped.
Yeah. And it's like, wait.
Wait,
I don't know.
I don't have one. I'm not smart enough.
I really don't want to speak on this into the questionnaire.
Hey, I just don't really feel comfortable speaking on this right now.
For other people to read. No. Wow. So I had to fill that out and I was like being cheeky with it, whatever, because I was like, there's no fucking way that this is gonna be like so intensely actually woke only. I thought the title was like in a way a joke, and then the questionnaire was like also kind of a joke, right?
Well, I understand why you would think that, but it is like 70 questions.
I know.
They're being serious.
70 questions in Brooklyn, New York.
They're dead serious. Damn.
So I'm going with my two roommates. Before we go, I'm telling my two roommates, actually, guys, I really don't want to go.
Of course not.
I really, really don't want to. I don't think I'm going to have fun. I'm not really in the mood to mingle. Like, we looked at who all of our matches were because they matched us up and sent it out. And my highest match was somebody named, like, Diva Baby.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know that I can talk to Diva Baby for the whole night.
I just don't feel like me and Diva Baby are necessarily going to be having a great connection.
It's like, I obviously love that name. The name Diva Baby is awesome.
It is awesome.
But, like, I'm tired. So I don't know if for
how
three
long
plus
was the,
hours.
Okay, 3+ hours. Amazing.
I can be like
that's
on.
A long time to have a singles mixer.
Right. So it actually went from like 7 to midnight.
Whoa.
But I was planning on tapping out at like 11.
Okay.
So they were like, bitch, you have to come. You have to. We've been planning on it for so long.
Of course.
My roommates go to buy beer. They come back with 3 buzzballs and a bottle of Hennessy. I'm like, I have work in the morning, so I can drink 1/2 buzzball.
Yeah.
I'm basically rolling up sober to the single woke only singles mixer.
Yeah, riding high off 1/2 buzzball.
Mm-hmm.
Diva baby, here I come.
1/2 espresso martini buzzball.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're so bad. anyways, we get there. I'm like, we're walking in the door. I was like, I don't want to go in. They were like, we're going to think of a code for when we want to leave, mm-hmm. which is that you raise your hand.
We walk in. Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
That is practically what happened.
Freak, I'm talking to a freak. Help, help.
Help, 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 help.
Help, 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 help. There's someone right across from you.
We walk in. I'm looking around. My hand immediately shoots up into the air. I was like, no, 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 guys. And they're looking and they're raising their
hands
too.
Walking through the door with your hand raised.
Yeah. It's a lot of like people wearing shirts that say like I'm more than just my body. I'm also my mind.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
Totally.
Style.
Love that.
Love that on a graphic tee.
It's also like, it's just funny in spaces like that where it's like, yeah, everyone agrees with you.
No, for sure. I'm not here to practice like intense objectification on the crowd.
Of course not.
on the crowd. So we arrive. The host of the mixer is a guy that my roommate had hooked up with one time. That's why we're there. The host is like obviously into my roommate. My roommate's like, mm-mm.
Gagging. Help, help, help.
The host turns to his friend and is like, this is falling water. And his friend was like, oh my God. And then we like step away and Will was like, so I don't know what the fuck that is.
Wait, did he think that was Will's username?
No, that's just a code word, I guess, that they have for him.
Wow.
And
that
it's like,
is scary as fuck.
To say that so blatantly in front of the person is unreal.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so then Will's hand shoots into the
air. Of course. Well, at that point, you're feeling unsafe.
Yeah. So then, but oh, we're God. About to feel really, really safe because...
It's so much more normal to just be like, this is Will. And then they'll know that it's the... Like, you know what I mean? It's like, if I've talked about Will, said I have a crush on him, and then I go, this is Will, he can feel normal and you can know who this is.
Yeah. Or you can say, this is Will. Maybe your friend is confused for a second. You step away and then you say, that's Will falling water.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So then it's like me, Will, and Leisha kind of just like standing in the corner, like talking to only each other. And I'm sorry, we are by far the hottest people at that party by like leaps
it's
and bounds.
Okay. It's okay. It's okay. Own that.
somebody says to me, I like your turtleneck. And I was like, thank you.
I wish I had a stack of Polaroids that are just straight photos of every single person there.
I wish you did too. I wish you did too. So then kind of the crux of the party or of my evening is that they kind of like ring a bell. The host gets up on a chair with a whiteboard and a marker and is like, we are going to go over the guidelines of this party, boundaries. We're going to do some rejection therapy and we're going to talk about consent.
Rejection therapy?
Yeah.
No.
So
get me out of there.
It was like,
please God, I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
That's how I felt. It was like
rejection therapy,
a lecture, like a college lecture on consent, like what they do for you at like orientation.
Yeah. Or like when you start a new job and you have to do like the online like modules or whatever.
Yes. Like wow. Writing stuff on the whiteboard and calling out like, does anybody know like that, like raising hands, like that kind of thing.
Yes means.
Yeah. Yes means yeah. And that went on for, I'm not kidding, 25 to 30 minutes.
Wow.
Which is like, I am obviously all for defining consent, but we are at a woke-only singles mixer. I don't know that we need to do a full whiteboard presentation on it. It's absolutely killing the mood. If I had been horny at all, I wouldn't have been horny.
Well, it is like an amazing way to really take the energy down and like really, like it's just, I mean, put that on the particle, send out a text blast before and say a couple words up top. 25 minutes, it's like, yeah, you're trying to kill the vibe.
Yes. Sucking the energy out of the room.
Yeah, of course.
Not for a lot of people, though. A lot of people, there was like palpable primal sexual energy pulsing off of people in a way where the host was like, if you guys want to fuck or make out, you can go into my bedroom. You just have to ask permission. And people were like nodding, smiling, big. And I was like, I have to get the fuck out of here before people start having sex. I can't be at a party where there's a bunch of people having sex.
Do you think that it was maybe a sex party?
It wasn't.
Okay. Because if it's a sex party, the consent thing makes a lot more sense.
It wasn't a sex party.
Okay.
And then we did rejection therapy where they made us pair up. And it was me, Leisha, and Will. And Will and I immediately turned to each other, made Leisha go with the stranger. But we were doing like call and response, being like one person being like, Will, I've really enjoyed talking to you and I'm feeling like a physical connection to you. Would you like to go into the bedroom and make out? And then the other person would have to be like, Hannah, thank you so much for saying that. I'm connecting with you as well, but only on a friend level. So I don't think I would like to continue this conversation further if you are looking for something romantic or physical. And it's like,
wow.
Watching Leisha do that with another person was making me laugh my ass off.
But of course.
Anyways, after the presentation, we immediately left.
Yeah.
And then went to a bar and did karaoke, and that was fun.
Okay. Well, amazing.
Yeah.
And you tried. You put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It was like a huge bummer, though, because I kind of was like, what if I fall in love tonight?
Of course.
Which is how I feel almost every time I leave the house.
I know. Well, that's the problem is that it's like, you can't shut down your open heart. It's beautiful.
No, exactly. I'm a massive optimist when it comes to stuff like that. Literally every day going to work and I'm like, what if I fall in love tonight?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And it's like, it's tough because you're going and you're like, well, there's got to be at least one person there.
So there was one hot person and I just was so over being there that I wanted to leave, but Leisha was like, we have to stay for 30 minutes. And I was like, I know the fuck why you want to stay here for 30 minutes is to talk to them. They talked to them for 5 minutes, we're into it, and then we left.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they got that in.
Yeah.
I guess. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. But still searching for love, I suppose.
You'll find it.
Yeah.
You will find it.
True that.
So.
Oh, my God. The show. The show.
The show. The show. The
this
show.
Episode is bananas.
This episode is bananas. It's called I'm Not Ghetto Bitch.
I'm not a ghetto bitch.
Sorry. I'm not a ghetto bitch.
Can I even say that?
I don't know. That's why I said it. But I feel... me black feel fine with you saying it.
Okay.
I don't know if Other people will disagree. It's you're quoting it.
I am quoting, but I am going to refrain.
Well, and I know that you constantly are calling things ghetto and ratchet.
Right. I mean, privately.
Imagine.
Oh my God. People still say ratchet. It's so fucking
it's
nuts.
It's so crazy.
Stop.
I know.
Not only is it a racist term, it's also like so fucking dated.
I know. It's
like
crazy.
2012 dated.
It's really shocking to hear someone be like, that's ratchet. And you're like, hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not a ghetto bitch.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So we open with LVP having a tea party.
Yes, we're at her house. Yeah, Jax and Peter are there because they're bartending.
Yeah,
for
there
it.
Have to be like sexy bartenders at the tea party.
Yeah, they're wearing like wife lovers and like tight pants.
Yeah. And so then Lisa takes the opportunity to kind of confront Jax about everything that happened in Vegas. He says that the reason he went is because, quote unquote, his friends were all going to be there.
Yes, all of your friends were there. That's not the reason that you went.
No. And also, it's like, even if... You were disinvited, so it doesn't matter that all your friends were going to be there. You were explicitly asked not to be there.
You were told you couldn't be there.
Yeah.
And yet like, you showed up.
Literally like a baby, but I want to go. Whoa.
But I need to go.
All my friends are there.
He acts like a child and Lisa acts like his mother.
I know.
And I wish that she wouldn't do that to him.
I know.
And just kind of put him in his place more. But she's like saying to him like, Jax, I'm disappointed in you. And then he's like, I'm disappointed in myself. And she's like... It's like, you just need to work on your behavior, buddy. It's like, that's a full grown man.
I know.
You don't need to treat him like
well,
that.
Well, we see really the like difference between how Lisa, her misogyny and how she responds to the boys versus the girls. Mm-hmm. Because she later will talk about it, but she's like so much harsher to Stassi and to Jack. She literally is like, you still miss her. You still love her. And
yeah.
It's like, girl.
That's I know.
Not the point. And also, he is not capable of love.
He doesn't miss or love her.
No.
He misses his home, probably.
Yeah. And he misses feeling like she belongs to him. That's yeah. like my... I just think that's what it is.
Yeah. He misses having his toy.
Literally.
Yeah. And she says something funny to him, which just... I love when she is acting British. And she said, you go to this restaurant, you start a fight, you end up in fisticuffs.
I know. Wait. Is that actually a British term?
I think so.
Or did she just say that? I'm looking it up.
I think it's a British term for handcuffs.
No. Fisticuffs, fighting with fists.
Oh.
So it's like you end up like coming to blows. But no one even threw punches, actually. They just took their shirts off.
No, I mean, they tried, but they were stopped. So Lisa lets Jax go because they have to work the party. And Jax goes up to Peter and is like, nobody will fucking leave me alone about this. Like, about going to Vegas. Like, nobody will fucking drop it. And it's like, you caused a massive scene. You are simply facing the consequences of your actions, having a conversation with yes. your boss about it. Things could be going so much worse
yeah.
for you.
And it's like that happened, what, 3 days ago?
Yeah, probably like, not
yeah,
even.
Yeah, no one has moved on from it yet. And actually, a lot of them have as well. Like, most of the people have. Like,
everybody is on your side except yeah. for Stassi.
Yeah.
So what do you mean no one will leave you alone about it? Your boss?
Oh, God.
Anyways.
So then Stassi's mom comes to town.
They get lunch at the Alcove, which is a restaurant right next to my old apartment.
Oh, cute.
They're actually spending a lot of time in my neighborhood this
They're
episode.
They're in Los Feliz?
Mm-hmm.
Cute. This is a quick scene. I don't know. Her mom doesn't like that Frank is like staying with Stassi or that they like shared a room in Vegas.
Yeah, I think that her mom thinks that Stassi moved on too fast. So she's kind of disappointed that Stassi and Frank are together. Yeah. And she says something... I mean, she's just kind of like being a mom to her.
Yeah, she is, which is shocking because Stassi's mom is usually being batshit fucking insane, treating her like shit.
Dana is so fucking crazy. I think she was on good behavior because it's her first time being on the show.
She was being exceptionally normal.
But she is that lady's out of her mind.
She's out of her mind. Okay, first of all, Stassi said that Jax, quote unquote, knocked up a porn star.
Yeah.
Was she just saying that derogatorily or
no.
did he actually knock up a porn star?
No, so that is kind of like, I don't think that he did... quote unquote, knock up a porn star. I think he got just a random girl pregnant, but they have been saying that for the past couple episodes. I think it's just kind of like the rumor mill getting twisted.
Something that I've been thinking about this show and like the morality of Vanderpump Rules is how everyone has like truly a kind of like biblical sense of justice, if that makes sense. Like it's very
100%.
It's very eye for an eye.
Yes.
It's like people really... are out for vengeance in like a biblical way.
Well, yeah. So they like their moral code isn't necessarily consistent, but it's extremely rigid.
Yes.
In that they cannot let something go. They won't turn the other cheek. They have to get their recompense.
They have to. There is a huge focus on vengeance. It's crazy.
They think that it's like not fair unless you do something just as bad as what has been done to you. And that's the only way to even the playing field.
Yes.
Which just isn't true in like actual human relationships, because those things ultimately just build on each other.
Yeah, it's like extremely toxic.
They don't get dissolved once you get quote unquote get even.
Yeah, it is very much like, yeah, it's very biblical.
Yeah.
It's very biblical.
They're just like the most dramatic people of all time.
I know.
So the next scene is Sheena at the studio because she is opening for Tina, who is having a solo show at the Roxy, which is a big theater.
I know. I was going to actually just look up because they said hundreds of people. Let's look up Roxy Los Angeles capacity.
I've been to a concert there. I'm pretty
500.
Sure. Yeah.
That's so many people.
I know. And Tina paid for the entire thing herself.
Well, that's what I was confused about, because I was like,
she also said she paid $2,500 for it, which feels extraordinarily low to rent out an entire theater.
But I guess maybe it's $2,500 for the theater and then they get a cut of ticket sales, most likely.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, she's back in the studio. She needs to like learn choreography. Mm-hmm. She needs to work on her song because she ultimately sounds so bad singing it.
Really, really bad. She has two backup singers / dancers there.
Yeah, they used to be cheerleaders, so they can probably get the job done.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
They said we used to be cheerleaders, so I think we'll be able to put on a good show. And I'm like, okay.
And they're talking.
That's something.
Yeah, that is something. It is something. It honestly is.
It's not necessarily one for one, but it is something. Better than nothing.
They've got a touch of a dance background.
They do. They're flexible.
They can jump. They can herky all over that stage.
It's just them doing like weird air.
A pyramid.
A girl doing a billion backflips right behind Sheena.
They tell the producer that's there that they are cheerleaders, and it's that same perverted producer.
Ray. Guy's a fucked up pervert.
God, and he's like drooling.
I wrote down Sheena's singing, dot 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 dot. Everyone's singing, dot 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 dot.
I wrote Sheena cannot sing, and then a little note under it, neither can these girls.
I know. It's tough because it is like, I don't know, it's weird to not, I mean, I guess they, maybe their focus was the dance background and not the singing background, because it is like, just everyone can sound a lot better. Like Sheena could sound a lot better for sure if she just had some like powerful people singing behind her, obviously.
Yes.
Like obviously.
And it's like,
because I don't think she's like tone deaf.
No, but she is really not good.
She's really not good, but I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. She has to have auto-tune on her mic on stage. But what I was going to say is, it's Los Angeles. You can find somebody who is both at least decent at singing and dancing.
Yeah, you're in the city of dreams.
Exactly.
The other guy's advice, not Ray, the other random pervert who's there, his advice to Sheena is to quote unquote, start being sexy, start dancing a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ew.
Okay.
Ew.
That's not helpful. Start being sexy. That'll help you with your performance. What?
If I was Sheena and he said that to me, I would be like, what the fuck do you think I've been doing for the past 2 months? I've been moaning into the mic.
Literally.
I've been gyrating. I've been saying crazy lyrics.
I know.
Like, I've been being sexy. What more do you want?
I've been being sexy.
Can you freak, bitch?
Did you hear the song? Then we're back at Sir. Jax is hooking up with Laura Lee. We find out.
Dude, this is huge.
I know. I love Laura Lee.
I love Laura Lee.
I fucking love her.
She is quite literally a loose cannon.
Yep.
I do feel I do obviously feel bad for her because
she's in recovery.
She's in recovery. She's been sober for 9 months.
I know.
She should not be working at Sir.
I know.
She should not be dating Jax Taylor.
Yeah, the guy who's like addicted to coke and alcohol.
Yes.
I know. It's tough. I feel bad for her. I wish that she wasn't working at Sir or dating Jax. But when she said 9 months, I was slightly relieved because you know that they would honestly have someone on the show who's like, I'm 1 month sober from meth and alcohol.
I know.
And it's like, okay, well, at least it's a little bit better than that.
Well, they were putting Sheena's boyfriend Shay into situations, like massive party situations when he was like actively trying to get sober.
Yep. And Sheena was like, no, have a cocktail.
She was like, why do you have to do 10 shots? Can't you just do 5?
Peter confronts Jax, being like, I know you're hooking up with someone. Peter says, I knew who it was just based on body language. Okay, pervert.
Ew, Peter. And the look in Jax's eye is like, ugh, Peter.
I know, Jax is literally like, stop talking to me about this. And then Jax explains them hooking up. He basically goes like, I don't know. She came over to take care of his dog. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know. It just happened. We went for a hike, and then we went for a movie, and then we went for a drink, and then we went for dinner, and then we went for breakfast. And I was like, that's not just happening.
No. He also was like, Peter was like, you're hooking up with Laura Lee. He goes, yeah, ugh, I've been kind of trying to avoid her. And then he was like, so we basically just like, she babysat my dog. We went to lunch. We went to dinner. We went to a movie. We had a sleepover, and then we had breakfast. If I did that with a guy and then we were working together and he tried to ignore me, I would fucking murder his ass.
Yeah, going on essentially a 10-hour date with someone, and first of all, Jax is acting like he just slipped into the situation like from a banana peel into bed with her or whatever.
Hanging out with her for
2 straight days, and then he tries to avoid you at work. I'd be like, hello.
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 But is like, something about Laura Lee is that she is off the bat and immediately in love with Jax.
Yeah.
In a way that is funny because you watch her, like, you just watch her being crazy.
Yeah.
So like earlier in the scene, Jax was flirting with these older women who had accents but were speaking perfect English.
Okay.
And then Laura Lee comes over and she was like, what were those women saying to you? Like, they want a piece of Jax Taylor. And he was like, he was like, oh, no, they didn't speak any English, which first of all is like
a full lie.
Lying comes so easily to you.
It's truly his instinct is to lie above telling the truth.
Yes.
Like, yeah, 100%.
But then Laura Lee is like kind of like throwing herself on the bar being like, I bet they were like, see, Jax, see, Jax. And then being like, and by the way, I'll kill them. Like, where are you guys all going out after? Because I'm coming too and I'll kill them.
Yeah. Well, is that when she was like, I'm a former meth addict. I'll fuck them up.
Yes, because Jax was like, oh yeah, you can come with us. Oh my God, you could tell them your life story. And then she goes, she raises her hand and goes, ex-meth addict, hee hee, I'll fuck you up.
I love her too. She's so funny. She's awesome. And I'm fully rooting for her.
Me too,
I'm fully rooting for her.
I really like her.
I know, I really like her.
Her voice is off the wall.
I know, it's crazy. It's so high-pitched. Yeah. But I love her. I love her so much. Jack says that it's the best sex he's had in a long time, and it's like, okay,
I know. And I I'm sorry, but I like had the show's doing something to me, like a perv thought where I was like, it's because she's crazy.
Yeah, we do have to like somehow balance out watching this show with a practice that won't make it so that the show is making us a misogynist.
I know. I need to like be watching documentaries.
Yeah, or reading like theory or something.
God, don't want to though. Lisa comes up to Jax and is like, you have to be gentle with Laura Lee.
Yeah.
And Jax is like, ugh, leave me alone. And then Stassi goes up to Peter and is like, you have to cut me early. You have to cut me early. I need to go home. It's my living hell here. Jax and Laura Lee are making out at the bar.
Like, Kristen is there, like, casting literally, like, dark magic at Stassi from the corner of fucking Sir.
Yeah, Kristen is there, like, shooting physical daggers with her eyes into Stassi's heart. And Peter is like, first of all, no, I'm not cutting you because this is your first day back from suspension.
And he's like, we have 50 reservations. I'm not cutting you.
You have to do your job. And then he kind of tries to reprimand her by being like, okay, so yes, Jax is dating Laura Lee, but you're dating Frank.
Once again, biblical.
Yeah. And she's like, fuck you, Peter. This is so extremely different because Jax went for the one girl that I befriended at Sir that nobody else befriended.
Yeah.
Okay, who cares?
I know.
There's no way you were actually nice to her before.
No. I mean, she was probably like kind to her, but like they weren't friends. And Stassi's trying to play it like, that's my one friend at Sir or whatever. And it's like, that's not true. You just she like covered your shift one time.
Oh, then we go to Tom and Kristen's apartment. They're having a party.
Kristen's having a party. This is basically the part of the show where everyone starts pretending or maybe whatever, liking Sheena to make Stassi mad.
Yeah.
So Kristen has a party and she's like, it's amazing because I can invite Sheena because I really like Sheena, but I just had to pretend I didn't because of Stassi. And I'm like, I'm nothing against Sheena, honestly. Like, Sheena's being really sweet this episode.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you didn't you're once again, it's vengeance. Like, you're not doing this because you like Sheena. You're doing this because you want to piss off Stassi.
Yeah. And I'm fine if you just say that, Kristen.
Yeah.
It's weird for you to say, I actually always really liked Sheena. You were screaming at her two episodes ago, talking about how she's a home wrecking
whore.
On the float.
In her face. It's like, that's not true. That's not true.
Yes. They just are, like, those three girls, Katie, Kristen, and Stassi are, Stassi's obviously on top, but I don't know. They just have, like, some awful, awful relationship with each other.
Well, they act literally like they're in middle school.
Yes.
It's, like, truly the behavior of, like, tweens when, like, you're so, I mean, and it is probably the same feelings of when you're a tween where you're, like, so deeply insecure. You're just so deeply insecure and you're, like, so sad. You feel like shit about yourself. Yes. And you just, like, yeah, you, yeah, it's really, really crazy. They don't, it's not a normal, healthy adult friendship at all, obviously, like, which it makes me laugh to even say because, like, fucking duh.
And, like, imagine a tween that is going through, it's like they're in puberty, their emotions are all
over
the place.
But they're allowed to be drunk all the time.
And they're drunk all the time.
No, it literally is. It literally is like 13-year-olds are allowed to be drunk all the time. It's really crazy.
And are like expected to hold down jobs as well.
Yeah, wow. I would love to just get like a real full in-depth breakdown of kind of all of their childhoods. Katie, honestly, a little bit less so.
Well,
she's crazy too.
Katie, though, I know about her childhood a little bit, which is that, but nothing like that intense. I think she has a pretty good relationship with her parents.
Yeah.
They are restaurant owners and she worked at their restaurant.
Yeah.
Something that did happen to her, though, is right before the show started filming, she fell through that glass window.
Yes, and had to get like reconstructive facial surgery
I think
something.
She had a brain injury.
Yeah. Yeah.
She did. She went through a long recovery period.
Yeah. Sorry.
She fell through a skylight.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have traumatic brain injuries. I'm sorry. I have something to tell you about that later for the bonus episode.
Okay.
Listen to the bonus episode. But yeah, it's really crazy. I don't know. Like, I don't really know why I feel less like this with Katie than I do with Stassi and Kristen. But you know those types of girls where it's just like, oh, I can tell that your mom made you evil.
Yes.
I can tell your mom made you evil.
Well, I just don't think that Katie's mom did that to her. We've seen Katie's mom
on
the show.
She's a lot more normal than the other two, I feel like, from my memory. But Kristen and Stassi, it's like, I can tell your moms, like, were really bad to you and probably, like, just made you feel, like, a deep insecurity that is impossible to fill or overcome unless you aren't on reality TV and do a lot of therapy and work on your own.
Yes. Well, yes. Kristen and Stassi have an attitude where they are in intense competition with every other woman that exists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a way that Katie
less so
doesn't really have.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
She is like able to express empathy and sympathy for people in a way that Kristen and Stassi just can't.
Yeah.
Because I think that they have always been kind of beaten down by their mothers.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's sad.
It is sad. It's literally sad. Then basically, like, the main part of this scene is that we find out that Stassi texted Laura Lee a bunch of cruel stuff, basically calling her kind of like a pathetic piece of shit. And she says, quote unquote, welcome to a life of no more friends, at least as far as Sir is concerned, freak.
Freak.
It makes me laugh just because I love calling people freaks.
Me
so
too.
I was like, that's my girl.
Me too. This is our first instance of rage texting on the show.
Yeah.
Which is a huge thing that they do. It's like a massive through line of the entire series.
Rage texting.
Yes.
Or like just Adderall maybe too. Cause you know, when you take an Adderall and you're at a coffee shop trying to do work and then you just text all your friends.
Yeah.
For me, it's like positive stuff. I'm like, love you so much.
Me too.
Have an amazing time. But if you're different, it can go a different way.
Yeah. I honestly, like, I do obviously believe that, those texts were drug fueled. But I also think Stassi is capable of doing that fully sober.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love Laura. And this is just it's really making me like be endeared by Laura Lee because she's kind of like saying this all with a smile and a laugh. Like, she is genuinely mad at Stassi, but I also think she recognizes like how kind of insane she's being.
Yes.
And it was making me laugh and like her.
It just like makes me feel so nervous for her though too, in the way that she's like laughing at Stassi about how crazy Stassi is being. And then saying things like, Jax is making me happier than I've been in a really, really long time. And like, I'm enjoying every single minute of being with him. So to her, like, the texts that Stassi are sending are laughable and worth it because she gets to be with Jax.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's concerning.
Yeah, I mean, the ideal situation would be that Stassi could, in a normal way, warn Laura Lee about Jax's behavior. Because yes. I feel like they're in the period where he's just love bombing her and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, I don't know if this is true. Who knows? I think Jax would be cruel to her no matter what. But part of me thinks that, like, because I do think Jax is just, like, not, doesn't really care about her, that he's not as mean to her. Like, I think that Jax, like, I don't know how to explain it, and maybe this is, like, a deeply problematic thing for me to think, but I feel like literally the more Jax feels, not even care, the more that Jax feels like he owns a woman.
Yes.
The more, which to him is, like, his version of love, the more cruel he will be to them.
I think so too, because he,
the word care isn't right, but
he knows that he and Laura Lee aren't going to last very yeah. long. He's not seeing this as a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
So he has no motivation to belittle her or
to abuse her,
her or anything like that, because he doesn't plan on keeping her around for long yeah. enough.
He's like, I actually don't need to break your spirit because you're not going
to
be here
for that
long.
Because I don't need you to stay.
Yeah. Which is,
he's just a fucking monster.
He's a monster.
I mean, obviously, if she had stuck around for longer, like, he would start being
evil towards her. Of course. So then Lisa calls an all staff meeting to kind of quote unquote clear the air.
Yeah. She can be a scary boss.
She can be a scary boss. This scene, the editing of it was just making me laugh because it was literally edited like a horror movie courtroom scene.
Yes.
Like, it was like they were all on trial, but also they were playing like horror music.
Yes. Well, maybe that's why I think that she's a scary boss.
Just because they're playing horror music.
The soundtrack, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, when Lisa walks in, she slams the door so fucking loud. Did you mm-hmm. notice that? Mm-hmm. And then she just, like, stomps in.
I think she genuinely is kind of angry.
Oh, I think so, too. I think she is genuinely angry that, like, I think she probably just feels embarrassed by their behavior in Vegas.
I think she's mostly mad that they got in a fight at a public restaurant.
I do, too. She basically is, like, because she's so, like, tied to the fact that she's a restaurateur and, like, an entrepreneur, she's like, it is so deeply disrespectful that you would misrepresent my restaurant and my employees and also disrespect someone else's restaurant by doing this at a different establishment.
Yeah, it's like the sanctity of a restaurant. Well,
the sanctity of a restaurant. It's amazing.
It is humiliating, though, for your entire staff to go somewhere and then all start fighting. That is representative of your restaurant.
It was literally giving, like, when you go on a field trip and misbehave and then the teacher is like, you cannot represent the school like this.
Exactly.
At the aquarium.
Exactly.
It was giving that. So then Jax kind of, like,
he quote unquote takes responsibility
and says that he's like, he says he shouldn't have gone to Vegas.
Him taking responsibility is him saying the words, I take responsibility.
Yes.
And nothing more.
And nothing else.
Yeah.
LVP is more mad at Stassi and Katie for getting physical than the boys.
For the fisticuffs.
Which is crazy. It's just, Lisa is such an insane misogynist too, the way that she favors and babies the boys. And then, like, the girls will do something and she literally won't talk to them for 6 months straight.
No, she'll suspend them. Yeah. She will ultimately fire them. Yeah.
Then we get the title of the episode. Stassi says she didn't pull Katie's hair. They're kind of going back and forth about, like, what actual physical altercation happened at the restaurant between Stassi and Katie.
Yeah, Stassi said that she threw a drink on Schwartz, and if it happened to get on Katie, she didn't mean for that to happen, which I believe.
I believe. So, yeah, basically, to, like, recap what happened, Stassi threw a drink on Schwartz after he called her a fucking bitch. Katie pushed Stassi down, like, to the ground, kind of, and then Stassi also returned the shove. We don't see any footage of her grabbing her hair, but
I think that what happened was that Stassi might have kind of
get back up.
Grabbed onto Katie to stand back up.
And also, like, that would, if someone shoved me to the ground, that would also be my response, is to, like, grab onto them to try to get myself back up.
Me too. I think
that's kind of just a physical response.
If I was a more physically aggressive person, then my response would be, like, punch in the face.
Yeah, of course.
Shove to the ground?
I know. It's crazy. Then Stassi says she didn't pull Katie's hair because she's quote unquote not a ghetto bitch, and then Lisa says that she quote unquote sounds like a ghetto bitch.
Yeah. What? Sounds like kind of a
ghetto bitch. I wish I could do her accent. Also, it keeps cutting to Sheena fucking smiling in a way that I love, because Sheena's like amazing. Like, Stassi's getting her comeuppance, her, yep. her, she's getting what's coming for her. No one is like mad at me.
No, Sheena's over the fucking moon right now. She's literally
just like smiling in her seat. It's
she's
so
having
funny.
Like an amazing week she at the literally restaurant. Is. She just because people are leaving her the fuck alone for once.
It's amazing. And then like Laura Lee kind of tries to like talk and explain how she's feeling.
She's really tough. It's like sitting in the corner, starting to like pull on her hair, like yeah. put it in front of her face, like itching. And
she's like freaking out, yes. like having a moment.
She's like kind of having a tantrum. And Lisa goes, "Oh my God, you look like you're having a seizure. What yeah. do you want to say?"
And you can tell that Laura Lee just like, you can kind of tell that she's not really like made to be on TV in the way that other people are, because she also at points like raises her hand and yeah. Lisa's like, "You don't need to raise your hand."
Yep.
Basically, like Laura Lee is like trying to keep it together. She's like trying to not blow up. Yes. But what she doesn't understand is that the point of this situation is that people is blow, to blow up, at each other.
But yeah. Jax did such a funny thing that made me laugh, where Laura Lee's like having her quiet tantrum and Jax is like sitting staring at the ground right next to her, whispering to her, "Please calm down. Please calm down. Please calm down." It's like he knows that she is about to lose her mind. Yeah,
it also might be that she knows that she's capable of like an insane freak out and is trying to keep it bottled
yeah,
up.
Yeah, ex-meth addict, I'll fuck you up.
I'll fuck you up. But yeah, like Laura Lee eventually just like comes at Stassi for sending her all those nasty text messages saying that she was like harassing her, which she was. She was like,
she was harassing her. She was sending crazy
her, she
style.
Was sending her threatening messages. Well, she
and,
was.
And Stassi is being like, "Yeah, I sent you really mean texts. I could have done way worse."
Literally. I know. Stassi does like always own up to being like a massive bitch. It's so funny.
Yeah. Kristen was like, "Stassi, it's really fucked up. You threatened her job." And Stassi was like, "No, I didn't threaten her job. I said she should probably just quit, and she should."
Yeah, she was like, "I didn't threaten her job. I just told her if that she kept working here, I'll make her life a living hell whenever she's here." It's like, okay, totally, queen. Then in the confessional, Stassi says that it was quote unquote nice of her to just bully text.
Yes.
Orally. Like she could have done something way worse.
I'm just wondering like what, like screaming in person, like what is the other, what's the alternative?
I don't know, probably like lighting her hair on fire or something.
Yeah, something
legit.
Yeah. Truly physically violent.
So then, yeah, like Laura Lee just like, she does an amazing job of standing up for herself in a way where once she was done like defending herself and coming for Stassi, I really wanted everyone to clap for her.
Me too. Well, because it was like watching a normal person battling against a giant.
Yeah.
And coming, it was like a David and the Goliath moment.
It was.
And Laura Lee, she did it.
Yeah, she did it. And she basically says like, I mean, what she's saying I don't agree with, because she's basically saying like, I'm really happy with Jax and I was in an awful relationship before yes. this, blah blah blah. But I do think that she's at the point in her relationship with Jax where he is simply love bombing her, so can't blame her. And she just did a really good job.
I don't know.
I was just loving her so much. I feel very endeared by her.
Me too. And then when she sat down and she like had all of the energy drained out of her, like no fight left in her, I was like, girl, you did it.
You did it. She did a great job. She really did. Yeah, it like cuts to Sheena smiling again. It was making me laugh AF when Sheena was like literally having the time of her
life. Sheena's like laughing at Laura Lee. Sheena's like smiling that Stassi's getting fucking
it's
railed
amazing.
On.
Kristen like briefly mentions that she still doesn't believe that Jax got someone pregnant in Vegas.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Kristen.
I know I've said this before, but I almost feel like Jax and Kristen must have been hooking up at this point or had some type of like flirtation or something, the way that she's riding for him so hard.
I don't know if they have hooked up yet. I honestly do think that they haven't. I think that does happen in season two, just because Kristen and Sandoval I think are a pretty strong couple right now. But Jax and Kristen spend a shit ton of time together because Jax is living at their apartment.
Oh, yeah. So maybe he's just like in her ear.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, what would you do if you got hired somewhere and then you went to a staff meeting and it was like this?
I would be exactly like Sheena. I'd be smiling in the fucking corner.
I honestly think I would be taking audio recordings to send to my friends.
Me too. I would have my phone set up face up on the table, voice memos open.
Bring in like a huge plant with a recorder in it.
Because that, yeah.
A spy pen.
It's just like, I mean, it's just not the real world. It is like they did a good job finding this restaurant where shit like this happens, but crazy shit happens at work all of the time, but nowhere even close to this level.
No, I mean, any other place like those, you would just be fired, obviously, but it's impossible to even imagine any person behaving like that badly.
Of course. Or like that kind of behavior, I've seen people exhibit it, not on a large scale, like that many people in one group acting that way, But when that happens, it's like, no, you don't call a staff meeting where the crazy people are allowed to talk freely.
Yeah, you don't have like an open forum discussion.
No, you have one-on-one meetings with the managers and then a couple people will probably get fired.
Yeah, of course, of course. Then we have like a quick scene of Stassi commiserating with the employees that still like her afterwards. Kate or Kristen is like randomly crying, I think, afterwards for no real fucking reason.
Yeah, I don't know. She's like...
Yeah, and then we get this super cut of Stassi saying all of her violent lines.
So Tom Sandoval is like, he's in a confessional being like, I'm honestly scared of her because she says really violent stuff. Then we get the cut and her first one is, I'd really like to drill a machine gun into her head.
And then she says, I literally want to take every fork and knife and graze over his body until he slowly bleeds to death.
Yes. Then she says, I'm going to cut my boyfriend's dick off time.
I'm going to cut my boyfriend's fucking dick off time. She says, I literally want to come at them with daggers and chop their faces and hide them in the walls.
That one was so crazy.
The next one is the craziest.
The last one is the longest one and I didn't write it down because I knew you would.
Okay, I have it.
And goes, I didn't want to handwrite it.
She goes, I normally would have literally written... She's talking about when she saw Sheena and Jax on the float at Pride flirting.
And the face she's making is the face she makes when she gets really angry where her mouth scrunches up and her eyes kind of turn into more like slits and like go black and she's like staring you down and like you can tell she means it.
She says, I normally would have literally ran across that float with daggers and not only stabbed you both like 40 times but then thrown you off, tarred and feathered each of you, beheaded you, and then quartered your bodies and dragged them through the city of West LA on a disgusting truck. It's amazing.
She's extremely creative.
She's extremely creative. She does have a rage inside of her.
Oh my God, like, she's so mad.
The most I can get out is like, I'll shoot you with a gun.
Yeah.
Her imagination.
It's visual. Unmatched. It's her unmatched. Rich, rich inner world.
I know, she should get into creative writing.
Yeah, she should. And it flows off of her tongue so easily. She doesn't stutter. No, she doesn't stammer.
That was hard for me to even stay back. I normally would have literally ran across that float with daggers and not only stabbed you both like 40 times, but then thrown you off, tarred and feathered each of you, beheaded you, and then quartered your bodies and dragged them through the city of West LA on a disgusting truck.
I love disgusting truck. I love disgusting
and
truck.
And it rolled off her damn tongue.
I know. And she's so incredibly earnest when she's saying it.
I know. She's amazing.
Not a hint of a smile.
Then we have Sheena's rehearsal.
Yeah, the most important thing to me in this scene.
Ariana.
Yay.
But she doesn't have any lines, but we see Ariana in the back dancing.
Sheena can't dance for shit.
Yeah, Sheena's really bad at dancing.
But she's trying. The choreographer is like head in her hands being like, you've got a lot of work to do.
I know, but I also was like, maybe you should try meeting her where she's at.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
maybe Sheena's not that bad at dancing. Honestly, she's probably not.
Yeah.
But they're giving her moves that you know at her level she can't sing and dance.
Do that shit. Yeah, I was wondering, like, do you think there's a world in which Sheena could have been a pop star? There was one part where she looked so cute just because she was smiling. She looked really cute. And I was like, oh, you're having so much fun, but you're so bad at this. But... do you think there's any world in which she could have been a pop star?
Yes. I think that if she went to Pop Star Academy, where they put you in that training camp for like a year.
Yeah.
And it's just all day, every day you're working on it.
Yeah.
She could do it because she has the drive. And she does have a really cute smile.
She has a really cute smile.
And she's teeny tiny. She can bop around. And she has like unlimited energy. Okay. Sheena's number one fan right here. I guess.
Well, she's being so sweet this episode.
She's being really, really sweet and nice.
And she's putting herself out there. She's being brave. She's trying something new.
She's not going to be an Ariana Grande.
No.
But I think she could be in a fairly successful girl group.
I could definitely see her in a girl group. Yeah. I could definitely see her in a girl group.
She should have tried to do that.
Yeah. Then the choreographer tells Sheena to, quote unquote, keep it classy. Well, one, teaching her how to do like these moves where she's like gyrating on the floor, and two, singing a song called Can You Freak, Bitch?
Yes.
It's like you've completely misunderstood the assignment if you're telling her to keep it classy.
So one of the moves is sitting on the floor, legs spread open, puss towards the crowd, and then singing Can You Freak, Bitch? And then when Sheena is like, maybe I'll just crawl around for the whole thing. She's like, keep it classy.
Yeah.
Girl, no.
No.
That's not the point. It's not. The moves you've given her are not classy.
No, I know. It's really crazy. Then Stassi quickly gets dinner with her new friends. And like the part of this that's important is basically that Stassi is brimming with excitement because she learns that Sheena is gonna perform live, and she's like so fucking excited to go watch her and make fun of her. She literally can't stop smiling and can't contain her joy.
Yes, even though all of her enemies are there, she is going to go. I fully related to these mean girls in this scene, because if I had a coworker put out a song called Can You Freak Bitch,
I would go, obviously.
I would go, and they play it out loud at the restaurant and like listen to it phone up to their ear and are smiling and laughing. Like,
no, I relate to that. I mean, I love to watch people do like embarrassing stuff. I'm really sorry if that's mean, but it's so funny.
When I was in high school, I worked at the movie theater, and I worked with this really quiet kid, and we all found his SoundCloud where he rapped to like SpongeBob beats, like the SpongeBob music, but he rapped over it. And we all gathered around in the break room and we listened to it while he was working.
Of course.
It's like, okay, you have to.
Yeah, you have to. And the Sheena thing also, it's like, obviously it's not fun to watch someone do something like sad.
No.
That's like really tough to watch. But Sheena's like performing to hundreds of people. She's excited. Yes. It is like not even like embarrassing as much as it's just like fun to watch someone be a fucking freak.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And it's like, I'm buying a ticket.
I'm buying a ticket. This is bringing her joy. It's bringing me joy as well. What's the problem?
It's time for the show.
It's performance time.
They're at the Roxy.
They're at the Roxy.
Kristen is smoking a cigarette outside and loving on Sheena.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm so excited. I'm so proud of her.
Being so fucking fake.
Since when? What the fuck ever? Sheena is backstage freaking the fuck out in her giant hoops and her sexy pirate outfit.
Yeah. She's wearing this like skirt tails kind of thing that is open front, but like snaps around in a belt, and then it's like a huge ruffled tiered skirt in the back.
Yes.
And then later we actually see that Tina also wears it in her performance.
Yes, she does.
Totally.
I don't know if it's the same one. I think it's a different color.
I think it's a different one.
Yeah. So I don't know. They go on stage and
it is like absolutely crazy to have your first performance be in front of hundreds of people. That's really crazy.
At a famous theater.
Yeah, like, I mean, I perform stand-up comedy, and I feel like it's a lot of people when it's like 70 people, literally. I've never, maybe once I've performed in front of like multiple hundreds of people, like one time.
Yeah.
And I could, doing that, that is the first time that you perform is like so crazy. It's really, really scary, I'm sure.
It's incredibly nerve-wracking. You could see Sheena freaking out.
She was, yeah, and you could tell that she was nervous when she got on stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't good.
No.
To me.
It wasn't good, but everyone says it's good.
But that was the shocking part. So she went on stage, she sings, it's not like sounding, she has a backtrack, so it doesn't sound that bad, but like the dancing's not really hitting. She's like not fully hitting the moves.
I think she was just like really nervous, which makes sense.
Yes, but and I don't think she had that much rehearsal time.
No, it's kind of like, I keep thinking about Dua Lipa TBH, because like, you know, when she would first perform and you could tell that she was like so nervous, like really stiff in her body.
Yep.
And it is like, you just have to keep doing it and you get better, which is also why you would ideally not do this for the first time in front of like 500 people.
And on TV.
But I mean, this is like where Sheena has found herself, so whatever.
But everyone was so kind to her afterwards.
And the thing that was confusing me is that, like, I get why Kristen and Katie have an incentive to say that Sheena was being good, because they want to like make Stassi mad or whatever. They want to like upset her. Jax also is like, she looks hot, which I'm like,
okay,
she doesn't really, she's wearing that crazy tool
not
skirt,
really, but to me, but I mean,
it's none of my business
to him. If he can see a shoulder, it's like, oh my
god, it's really sexy. Yeah, everyone thinks that she does well, but then even Stassi is like, you did an amazing job.
Stassi was like, I came here to make fun of Sheena, and honestly she did such an amazing job that I can't even, like, it was so fun to watch. She was having so much fun. She sounded good. She looked great.
Okay, so I think there's like multiple things that could be happening here.
I have some ideas as well.
One, I think Stassi could be lying, obviously, so that she doesn't look like even more of a bitch because everyone's mad at her. I think that's a complete possibility. Two, I think that like these people have bad taste. They like bad things. They do. True. Like, do you know what I, like,
yes.
I think to them, they could see that and be like, that's fucking rock and roll.
That's
like,
art.
That's punk rock. Yeah. That's awesome. It's like they don't. We have different interests. We like different kind of things.
Yeah, like things. That is not for us. That's for them.
It's not for us. I also think that their expectations could have been extremely low.
I think so, too. I that's what I think most of all for Stassi, is that her expectations were extremely low, was thinking like Sheena was going to fall down on stage and like
humiliate herself. Yeah.
I also think that Stassi was watching the show with her tier two friends who she doesn't really care about. And all of her real friends were in the audience having fun all together.
Yeah.
And I think that honestly, she just like started to feel really sad and like missed everyone and wanted to be part of it. And we know that that's true because she goes outside and cries.
Yeah.
That she just like didn't have it in her to be like find the joy
in making fun of
Sheena. In the failure of Sheena. Yeah.
And it was, the thing is, it wasn't a failure.
No.
Like it wasn't as good as everyone was saying it was. Like they were acting truly like they were just watching Rihanna at the Super Bowl or something. And it wasn't that level, but it wasn't a failure.
No.
She did it.
She sang her song. She did her dance.
She did the dance as well as she could have. She sang her song as well as she could have. Yeah. Like it wasn't like humiliating to watch. It wasn't sad to watch, obviously. So then Stassi goes outside and cries.
Yeah, she just like, she goes out, she says like, I realized at one point it just wasn't fun to be in a room where everyone fucking hates me.
Yeah, which is sad. Because it's that they shouldn't hate her. They shouldn't hate her. They should hate Jax. No, she didn't do anything wrong at this point.
It's just, it would be so devastating to be sitting there seeing all of my best friends hanging out with my ex-boyfriend who abused me and they all hate me bad and are having an amazing time.
I mean, that's like a huge trauma that like a lot of people go through, honestly, where they're like, I was dating an abusive guy and then I like broke up with him and told the people I was friends with and none of them believed me and they all took his side and I lost all my friends.
Yeah.
And Stassi doesn't lose all her friends, but like I think people who have different kind of like ideas of right and wrong are like, well, I can't be friends with those people anymore. It's like really sad.
Yes. It's really sad.
And then Sheena is really sweet and she goes outside and she comforts Stassi.
Yes.
In a way that was really sweet.
She does. And it is really sweet. But this is the beginning of a long Sheena arc of being called a flip flopper.
Yes. Well, yes.
Because what she does is really nice. And she is like, Stassi, you're crying. I know you came here to make fun of me, but I don't like seeing you sad like this.
Yes.
I don't hate you. Like, I know we don't get along, but she does it all of the time. She does it every time she gets called a flip flopper. She goes to me over the top. She says, I'm here for you and I would do anything for you.
Yeah.
You don't need to say that.
No.
Stassi doesn't need to be your best friend.
No.
You definitely can and should be nice to her in this moment. Yes. But you are aligning yourself too hard with both groups.
Yes.
They're not going to like it.
No, and I was going to say, there is like a generous interpretation of this scene and a less generous interpretation of this scene. The generous interpretation is that Sheena's like genuinely being nice. And I think that it can be like both or somewhere in the middle.
I think it's both.
But that it's also really smart for Sheena at this time to be kind to Stassi because, as we've said the last couple episodes, she like doesn't really have a storyline. She hasn't really been on the show. Mm-hmm. So like in like meeting Stassi where she's at when she's kind of like down bad, it's an amazing way for her to like get back into the show and get a storyline and get back in the graces of these people.
And Sheena knows like Stassi's not going to be on the bottom forever.
No, of course not.
She's going to rise to the top again. Yeah. So it's best to kind of get on her good side. But I do think it's both from Sheena. I think does genuinely have a good heart.
Me too. I do too. She's not like, I don't think at least at this point that Sheena's like inherently evil at all. Like
I honestly never think that Sheena's inherently evil.
I think she just doesn't have a backbone and is like really insecure and really craves like validation from people.
Me too. And I think she tries to play the field, but because of those insecurities, lack of backbone, and just like sort of innate inability to manipulate in the way that the rest of them do.
Yeah.
She just gets called out too much.
Yeah, she's playing at a disadvantage because it is like the other people are being called out for being like evil bitches and she's being called out for like being fake and like honestly being like too nice to everyone.
Yes, that's her problem the entire series.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's better to be the most psychotic evil bitch in the world but at least be honest about it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. I hope that by the end of this podcast that we'll finish in 10 years because of how many fucking episodes of the show there are that we can have like a complete breakdown and understanding of the morality of these people and of their like code of ethics.
Me too. I mean, I can't wait for my notebook to be full.
I know, it's gonna happen quick.
And then to like track their character development.
I know. This episode just ends with Tina performing with Sandoval while he's like quote unquote shredding on the electric guitar.
Yeah. And Sheena and Stassi take a flash picture on a BlackBerry to commemorate.
Stassi looks so pretty.
Yeah,
she's so pretty.
She is so pretty.
That's the episode.
But that, yeah, that's the whole episode.
It was an amazing episode.
It was. We didn't have a lot of like shifting alliances other than Gina and Stassi.
But Laura Lee, huge.
Massive introduction.
Massive introduction for Laura Lee.
God, and she is about...
And something really bad is about to happen to her.
Really bad is about to happen to her.
Literally something terrible is about to happen to her.
Yeah. You're going to want to tune in next week.
Yeah, you're going to want to tune in next week. Okay, do you have a hero and a villain?
My hero is... Well, Laura Lee's not really my hero. I just really like her. My hero is probably Sheena.
Yeah. No, Sheena did literally have a hero's arc.
Yes, she did.
She literally like overcame a battle and like came out victorious.
I know.
She like truly had a hero's arc.
She went from everyone hating her goddamn guts to everybody rejoicing at literally. Her show at the Roxy.
She had an amazing moment of being like, and one day you'll all see. And then they fucking saw.
Yeah. And that day was the next week.
Yeah, legit.
Thank God. My villain? I don't know. Who's your villain?
Kind of Lisa.
Yeah. Just like, the way she treats the women.
It's just really tough to watch her be like so in favor of the boys.
Yeah.
It's like really tough. And Jax is like, of course, being awful, but he's not really giving us anything new.
No, he's not.
And he didn't like wrong anyone specifically in this episode.
No, he's kind of being same old.
Yeah, same old, same
yeah,
old.
Yeah, so my villain, I guess, is Lisa as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Lisa.
Okay, so please... rate, review, and subscribe. We have bonus episodes every week that kind of come out whenever I fucking feel like it.
Let's go.
But just subscribe and then you'll see them. And we talk about pop culture. We talk about our lives and we laugh and we gab.
Yeah, we laugh and we gab.
Yeah. And send it to a friend if you think they'd like it for real.
Yeah. And follow us on TikTok and stuff.
Yeah, please. We need it bad. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.